All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin Meseches Sota. First of all, a welcome to all the new people who are joining us today. Baruch Hashem, wonderful to have you here. Welcome. Today we begin a very exciting journey in Meseches Sota. A lot of incredible halacha. Sota also has a lot of incredible agarita. Somebody's sitting next to somebody there. I don't know if that's... All right, so let's begin. First of all, Ashir today, Baruch Hashem, we have the zechus to sponsor the opening daf of Meseches Sota. Today happens to be my grandfather, my paternal grandfather's yahrzeit, so we dedicate our learning to the Ilui Nishmas of Yoel ben Shimon, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. Hamekana le'ishto. So let's remember again that this Masechta deals with the process of Sota. Sota, and again, we're going to go through the different processes, represents a woman or is a woman who is suspected of adultery. And again, we're going to see that this is a circumstance in which, or this is a situation in which there is circumstantial evidence that she committed adultery. And the Gemara is going to discuss the process in which we go through in order to ascertain what actually happened. So Mekana le'ishto. So a man, Mekana is a lashon of warning. A man who warns his wife, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer will discuss the nature of that kinui, the nature of this warning. So Rabbi Eliezer omer mekana la pishnayim. Rabbi Eliezer says that a husband must warn his wife in front of two witnesses. Umashke al pi edechot. But he is able to go ahead and literally cause her to drink based on the testimony of one witness. In other words, that if one witness sees that she has violated, the warning, then that will cause her to drink the waters of the Sota. Or furthermore, again, amazingly enough, even if the husband himself sees that she violated the warning, he also has the ability to go ahead and cause her to drink. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Mekana la pishnayim. So Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that the original kinui must take place in the presence of two witnesses. But what does he argue about? However, mashke al pishnayim. So both say it's a fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says that the warning must be given in front of two witnesses, but you only need one witness to see her violation of the warning in order to cause her to drink. And then one witness could even be the husband himself. Rabbi Yeshua agrees. Two witnesses for the warning, but he also says you need two witnesses in order to testify that she violated the warning. Fine. So the Gemara says, Ketzel Mekanala. So what is this kinui, right? How does this warning look like? What does it look like? Omer la b'fnei shnayim. He says in front of two people, Al tedabrim ish ploni. If he said to her in front of two witnesses, he says to his wife, I don't want you talking with Reuven. V'dibra imo. But she spoke with Reuven. Adayin hi muteres labeisa muteres lacho b'tshuma. So we'll say she is still permitted to go out and live with her husband. That's what it means, muteres labeisa. And if she is the wife of a Kohen, she is still permitted to go out and eat tshuma. In other words, we'll both say, so to tell your wife, for a man to tell his wife, I don't want you talking with Reuven, so the truth is, a husband has a right to tell his wife that she doesn't necessarily have to listen to that. But lamais again, that is not the kinui we're talking about. That's not the type of warning we're referring to. What are we referring to? Nichnasa imo lebeis haseser, v'shasa imo kedetuma, asur lebeisa, v'asur lechobutshuma. So both say, here's what's interesting. Now we'll have to explain exactly. The Gemara is going to talk about exactly what the Mishnah is saying over here, because the Mishnah frames it as a case of where he's telling her, I don't want you to speak with Reuven. And the Mishnah says, if she speaks with Reuven, she's not in violation of his warning. But yet, if she's alone with Reuven, she is in violation of his warning. So the Gemara is going to discuss this because the Mishnah is strange. Because does that mean he's warning her not to speak, but yet she violates the warning if she's alone with him? Or the warning must be, you can't be alone with Reuven. So we'll discuss in the Gemara what that is. But, but for our purposes right now, what kinui means is the following. A husband suspects that his wife is committing adultery with a particular man, and he says to the wife, I don't want you being alone with this particular man. So remember, both according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that warning must take place in front of two witnesses. Both agree it must take place in front of two witnesses. Now the shaila is, let's say now she's alone with Reuven. So what happens if she's alone with Reuven? Then halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says that, again, if she's alone, if the violation of the warning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, takes place in front of one witness, or the husband himself, or according to Rabbi Yoshua, takes place in front of two witnesses, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, she is forbidden to her husband. Now again, we'll see what that means, is she's forbidden to her husband until she goes through the process of sota. Meaning at that point in time, once she's in violation of the warning, she must go through the sota process in order to clarify her guilt or her innocence. Furthermore, again, one of the immediate results. Now, again, so when we say that she's asura to her husband, we're not saying that she's an adulteress. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is we're going to see. Remember, what I said the last couple of mishnayos in Nazir employed the same term, which was what? Raglayim ledavar. There's raglayim ledavar. Ultimately, again, there's circumstantial evidence that there's something going on over here. So lemaisa, again, she can't go ahead and resume living with her husband until we clarify what's happening. Furthermore, another additional impact is that if the husband is a kohen, therefore she's normally used to eating truma, she can't eat truma until it's clear what the circumstances are. And furthermore, v'imes, let's say husband dies. Let's say husband dies before there's an opportunity for her to drink the meis sota. So the Gemara says, choletzes v'lo mes yabemes. In that case, she does chalitza, but she can't do yibum. And the reason she can't do yibum is why? Because we're unsure of what her technical relationship to her husband is at this point in time. Is she someone who's permitted to her husband, not permitted to her husband? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, were he to die before the meisota process could take place, she would do chalitza, not yibum. Says the Gemara, michti. Well, so you'll notice, by the way, somebody just mentioned this to me as I walked in. These dafim are much longer. You know, we're used to, again, the nazir nidarim dafim, as complicated as they were sometimes, were much shorter. So now we're back to regular Gemara dafim. So I apologize if at times it seems a little bit quick. So says the Gemara, michti. Tana mi nazir salik, my tana de katana sota. So what does I say? The Gemara asked an interesting question. We just finished yesterday Meseches Nazir. So why is it that Lamaisa, again, now we're talking about why are we coming into sota? Right? Why sota? So the Gemara says, my tana de katana sota. Ki the Rebbe, in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe, what did Rebbe say? The Sanya, Rebbe Omer, Lamanis Mecha Parshas Nazir, the Parsha Sota. Why is it that in the Torah, the Parsha of Nazir is juxtaposed to the Parsha of Sota? Lomar Lecha to teach you, Shekala Roa Sota Bekilkula, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin. What's that to teach us? And we saw this already in Meseches Nazir, that one who sees Sota Bekilkula, one who sees this process of a Sota, because we will discuss that this was done in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were people who were present to watch. So anyone who sees ultimately what happens with the sota should go ahead and take a neder, should become a nazir, should abstain from wine. I'm also saying that, what's the connection between those two things? Because the assumption is that when do people get themselves into trouble concerning issues of morality? When they've had a little bit too much to drink. Therefore, if you see ultimately again a woman who has suffered some type of moral lapse, then the mice again, best response to that is stop drinking. I say the Gemara says, "Velisni sota v'adolisni nazir." So if that's the case, so then the order of the mesecto should be what? You first should have sota, then nazir. Because what you're telling me is the reason a person becomes a nazir is because they saw what happened with the sota. So the Gemara says, "I did the tanik suvis v'tana hamadir." So what's the Gemara says, this is part of a much bigger question. Since we began with the discussion of ksuvis, and in meseches ksuvis, there was a discussion of Hamadir Ishto, a man who goes ahead and imposes Nedarim on his wife. So once we spoke about Nedarim in the context of Ksuba, so Tani Nedarim. So once you brought up Nedarim in Ksuvas, then we figured, you know what, that's our entry to speak about Masechas Nedarim. The Aidi de Tani Nedarim, Tani Nazir, the Damila Nedarim. Once we spoke about Masechas Nedarim, then what? We should bring up Nazir. Why should we bring up Nazir? That's interesting. The Lashon of the Gemara is Didami L'Nedarim, because it resembles Nedarim. I will say it doesn't just resemble Nedarim. What is it? It is a Neder. And perhaps, again, it's, to a certain degree, it is the paradigmatic Neder. So once we're talking about Ksuvah that spoke about Nedarim, we might as well have Meseches Nedarim. Once we're talking about Meseches Nedarim, so you might as well speak about Nazir, which is a Neder. The Katani Sote Kedirabi. And now once we spoke about Nazir, Meseches Nazir, then it only makes sense that the Masechta immediately afterwards should be what? Should be Sota, because again, there is a link between Sota and Nazir. So we'll say, so that is why, again, Lemaisa, Masecha Sota immediately follows on the heels of Nazir, because there is a linkage, ultimately, again, between these two processes. And even though according to that linkage, Lemaisa Sota should come first, But because, again, we're coming off Meseches Nedarim, therefore, again, it made sense to put Nazir after that, Sota immediately after that. Says the Gemara. Hamekane. So remember again, the way the Mishnah begins is Hamekane means if a man warns his wife. So we'll say, so the Gemara makes an interesting diuk. Hamekane, the evidin, lechatchila lo. So Mekane sounds like that's what? Mekane means if a man warned his wife. Now we'll say that lashon is an ex post facto lashon. If a man already did this, here is how the kinui has to look like, which sounds like what? Bidi Eved, the Mishnah is saying, a man could warn his wife, but lechatchila, it seems to be that it's preferable not to. What does this mean? Kasavar Tana Didan Asr Lekanos. Abose, our Tana says, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, that lemaisa, again, you should not go ahead and warn your wife. And Abose, now what does this mean? Asr Lekanos. So look what Rashi says. He says, Shemevi Atzmoli De Tagar, Ves ishto li de nivul va'afilu hi tahara. Because also you can understand, you know, I always wondered about this. We'll discuss, by the way, you know, there are circumstances where lemaisa, a man subjects his wife to this process, and she's tahara, right? And she didn't do anything wrong. So I often wondered, can you imagine a man takes his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, takes her through this whole process of Mesota, turns out that she's Torah. Can you imagine that trip back home? Right? So what do you want to do for dinner tonight? Can you imagine? Like, the truth is, B'pashas, one would have to imagine. I don't know how it was in times of the Gemara, but at least today, that marriage like that would be over. Would be absolutely, or wouldn't even be a Shayla. So the idea that the Gemara is saying is, oh, understand that we're going to see that sometimes conventional wisdom is, if this is where your marriage is holding, if this is where you're holding, and this is what you're up to in terms of suspecting your wife, and you feel you have to go ultimately to kinui, then perhaps the dissolution of the marriage is the best idea. But to go through this process, this road, says our Tana, really only ends in one way. And that's, you know, either it will be divorce, or if it's not divorce, it's going to be a lifetime of marital discord and animosity. Therefore, again, the Tana says again, Shemevi Asmo Lide Tagar, he brings himself to literally conflict, Ves Ishto Lide Nivol, and ultimately the degrad, we're going to see, is a very degrading and humiliating process for the woman. Va'afilu hi tohora. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, that's why the Tana says Hamekana. So Hamekana means, if you did this, so meaning lechatchila, we'd rather you not do this. But if you did this, here is what the process looks like. Amar Shabbat Yitzchak, ki hava pasach reish lagish besota. So let's say, listen to this. Now, you know, we always joke about you shouldn't use some of these ideas at a Sheva Brachas, right? So now, and Masechta Sota, be careful what you use at a Sheva Brachas, right? But here I'm actually going to give you some good Sheva Brachas material. So the Gemara says, when Reish Lakish would begin his shir in Masechta Sota, he would always begin the shir with the following. Amar Hachi, Ein mezav gino lo adam isha, ela lefi ma'asav. The Ribono shel Olam only gives a man a wife in accordance with his own deeds. Shene emar, because the Pasuk says, Kilo yanuach shevet harasha goral hatzadikim. Literally, the staff of the wicked shall not rest on the lot of the righteous. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Mezavgin isha lefi ma'asov, tsinua letzadik, uprutsa lerasha. Boaz says, an incredible yisod. So what Reish Lakish was saying was that if a man encounters this issue with his wife, just understand, it's reflective of him as well. That the idea is that the Ribono Shel Olam gives us a zivug, he gives us a match in accordance with the people that we are. So if some, let's say, you should just know, by the way, this is an incredible, I mean, you can speak with Dr. Karapkin about this for further corroboration, but this is an incredible yisod just in Shalom Bayis problems, right? So people often, when they encounter Shalom Bayis problems, so it's often about what the other is doing. The truth is, rarely does Shalom Bayis issues come up without both parties contributing something. So I'm running into this issue with my spouse. Okay, the first step, says Reish Lakish, is what about you? What's your role in this? What's your part in this? So Kilo Yanuach Shevet HaShal Goral HaTzadikim. Amra Barachan Yochanan. We'll say, beautiful Gemara. V'kashin Lezavgon Kekriyas Yamsof. It is harder for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to go out and make one Shidduch like Kriyas Yamsof. Says Rashi, Kriyas Yamsof. Shinishtanu Sidre Bereshit. So we'll say, do you see? This is amazing, by the way. It's our first day of this Masechta, and mamish gold. So it's harder for our Kodesh Baruch Hu to make one Shidduch like Kriyas Yamsof. And Rashi says again, Shinishtanu Sidre Bereshit, meaning that what the Gemara is trying to convey is just like Kriyas Yamsof, ultimately, again, is what? Is a changing of the laws of nature. So to bringing together one shidduch is a changing of the laws of nature. Says the Gemara Shneamar, Elohim, and obviously you understand there's a lot, so much to say about this, but because of time we'll have to go on. Shneamar, Elohim Moshe Dichidim Beisa, the Ribono Shel Olam goes ahead and literally brings individuals to live together in one home. Motzi Asirim Bikosharos. He takes out the ones in bondage at the appropriate time. So what the Gemara is getting into, what the Gemara is showing over here, is that this Pasuk in Tehillim links marriage, Moshe Vichidim Beisa, with Yitzias Mitzrayim. What was the event ultimately again that really was the closure, so to speak, of the Exodus process was the splitting of the Red Sea, Kriyas Yamsuf. Therefore, the Gemara understands that the Pasuk is linked, Darim Elch is linking marriage to Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the linkage to the marriage of Kriyas Yamsuf? The linkage is just as Kriyas Yamsuf was supernatural, so to bring two people, two individuals together, it's mamish like Kriyas Yamsuf. Gemara says, Yini, is that so? Vaha Amra Yehuda Amra Av. But is that true? But after all, the Gemara says, we'll see this, well, it's another beautiful Gemara. We actually saw this in Moed Katan. So 40 days before a child is born, actually it's before Yitzhiras Havlad, which literally means even before the formation of the child. 40 days before, a bas kol, a heavenly voice comes out and says, so-and-so is going to marry so-and-so. In other words, we'll say this is the concept of Bashert. The concept of Bashert ultimately means that the concept of who I marry to a certain degree is preordained. Now, again, it doesn't mean you actually marry that person. A person has Bechira. But Lamaisa, again, there's a Zivug for everyone. There's a match for every single person that's already declared on high, even before I'm born. So the Gemara says, furthermore, it says, Bas Ploni Laploni, Bayis Ploni Laploni, Sada Ploni Laploni. Doesn't just apply with marriage, it also applies with business. Right? The idea ultimately how successful I'm gonna be in business also is something that is decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So both say, so what do you see? You see a contradiction. Because on one hand, what are you saying? On one hand, you're saying it's as difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about a shidduch as it is for what? For Kriyas Yamsuf. And then, but on the other hand, you're telling me that what? That Lamaisa, again, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and ordains who's going to marry who 40 days before I'm even created. Lo kasha, to which the Gemara says, it's not a question, not a contradiction. Ha bezug rishon, ha bezug sheni. It refers to which marriage you're talking about. In other words, look at Rashi. Rashi says, zug rishon, your first marriage, lefi hamazel. So I'll say your first marriage is absolute mazel. What does that mean? What that means is the first person you marry, that's the person ultimately, again, who was the person who was ordained for you even before you were born. Zugshini, your second marriage. I want to be clear. The Gemara is not encouraging, right? This, all right, got the mazel one. Let's now move on to the, you know. That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying if a person, first marriage doesn't work out for whatever the reason, zugshini lefi masov. So the second marriage, that is a marriage, interestingly enough, that's a little bit more custom tailored to my actions. And I've also said the idea of, which by the way is fascinating in and of itself, that a first marriage is mazel, second marriage is lefi ma'asav in accordance with my actions. Not for our discussion today. However, look what Rashi says. The kashla zavgun lefi she'ina bas zugo. And I've also said, so why is it difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and make that second shidduch like Kriyas Yamsuf? Because also I remember sometimes in a second marriage, so what could happen? You could have two people that are married to two other people. And what's going to happen over time? So events are going to occur that are going to bring those two people together. So it requires a shifting of so many different worlds. Sometimes it requires divorce. Sometimes it requires death. There are so many different things that have to happen to bring those two people together. That, the Gemara says, is like Kriyas Yamsuf. Says the Gemara Baiter. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rush said Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Mekarla Pishnai. So let's remember, Shidas Rabbi Eliezer is that the warning must happen in front of two witnesses, but testimony that she was alone with the man to whom she is forbidden, that testimony can be given even by one witness and even by the husband himself. Says the Gemara versus Rabbi Yeshua, who says you need two both times. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua only arguing in matters of kinui and stira when it comes to the warning and to the stira and to witnessing the actual seclusion of the woman and this man. However, when it comes to tumah, now what's tumah? Tumah means, let's say you have testimony Rashi says over here, Aval b'tumah, im yesh eidim b'kine v'stira v'yesh eid echad shekilkala b'stira sa ne'eman ve'ena shosa eliyotza b'lo k'suva v'asur l'baal u'l'bol l'truma. But say, let's say you have one witness who says, I actually saw her engage in adultery. Now, obviously, if you have two witnesses, that's a different discussion, right? Then that could be a capital case. But let's say you have one witness who says, I saw her engage in an intimate act with this man. So everyone agrees that what happens, betumah eid echad mehem, what a witness is believed. Now, we'll say, now what does one witness do in such a circumstance? So obviously, one witness can't make her liable to adultery, right? But what one witness can do is, one witness, number one, shuts down the sota process. You can't give her to drink if there is a witness that says that she actively committed adultery. Furthermore, again, husband must divorce her because she's prohibited to live with her husband anymore, and she loses her ksuva. Now, we'll discuss why Eid Echad is believed in that circumstance. But the Gemara is saying over here is both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua will agree that if there is an Eid Echad that saw her actually commit adultery, that again, Lamaisa, that Eid Echad is believed. Utna Nami, we learned this as well. Echad Omer Ani Re'isi Shenit Meis, if one witness came along and said, I saw that she actually committed adultery, lo haisa shosa, then what? She would not be permitted to drink the meis sota anymore. So the Gemara says, midaraisa milan de mehemen eichad. Biblically, how do we know that an eid echad is believed? I'm sorry. Correct, this is after kinui. Correct. No, it doesn't have to be after stir. It could be any time. It could be any time once this process has been initiated. So the Gemara says, the Tana Rabbanan, the eid ein ba. The pasuk says there is no witness about her. So remember the pasuk over here is the shachav isha sa shich vazera v'ne'ela me'ene isha v'nistra v'hinit ma'a v'eid ein ba v'hinon espasa. So the pasuk is talking about over here, she was alone with this man about whom she was warned. V'eid ein ba. There is no witness about this matter. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? V'eid ein ba. B'shnayim ha'kosu medaber. So also the Gemara makes a very dramatic suggestion. The Gemara suggests that V'eid ein ba means what? There was no witness. One witness means two witnesses. Even though it's phrased in the singular, eid means two witnesses. B'shnayim ha'kosu medaber. O eina ela afilu be'echad. Or maybe it only means what? There's not one witness. Tamud lomar lo yokum eid echad bi'ish. Therefore the pasuk says, one witness shall not get up to testify against the man. Says the Gemara Amadeis, mi mashma shene emar lo yakum eid v'ish. The fact that the pasuk says an eid singular should not go ahead and testify about a man, eini yodeh shu echad. I know that he's echad. So why does it have to say lo yakum eid echad v'ish? Had it just said eid by itself, eid is singular. Why does it have to say echad? Ma tamud lomar echad ze. Excuse me. Ma tamud lomar echad. Why does it have to say echad? Ze bonaav, komakum shene emar eid, harik han shnayim, ad sheyifrot lecha hakasuv echad. There's something called the binyan av. What does a binyan av mean? The best term for it is a paradigm. A paradigm. Torah Zalans creates a paradigm, and that paradigm applies in all cases. So, for example, the fact that the pasuk here has to say eid echad teaches me that what? It's only when the pasuk says eid echad that eid echad means what? One witness. But if you have a unqualified eid, just says the word eid, even though it's singular, always means what? Always means two. Why is this important? Therefore, the pasuk over here by Sota says Rabba Ot Rabosai. It says ve'eid ein ba by Sota. So what does that mean for us? Va'amar Achmana trei les ba elachad. Rather, what the pasuk is teaching me is what? Is that she doesn't have two witnesses that testify, but there is one witness. Vehi lo nispasa, and therefore, again, if there's one witness, and therefore one witness saw that she was intimate with this man, vehi lo nispasa, and she was not coerced, because obviously chasham, she was violated. She's of course not liable for that. She was not forced. Therefore, in that case, asura. So we'll say, so the pasuk is coming to teach me, and both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua will agree to this, that ve'eid ein ba ve'hilon es pasuk teaches me, and if there are no witnesses to the fact that she was intimate, then what? And she was not violated, then l'maisa, again, she will have to undergo the sota process. But if l'maisa, again, eid ein ba, but if there was even one witness that saw that she was intimate with this man, then what? It brings the entire sota process to a grinding halt. Husband must divorce her. She loses her ksuva. Ela time of the kasiv, dichsiv, lo yakum eid echad b'ish. So the reason I know that aid, unqualified aid by itself, means to, is because Torah went out of its way. That when it wanted to discuss an aid echad, said echad, ha lav hachi, worked not for this. Hava amina aid disota chatu. I would have thought that when the pasuk says the aid ain ba by sota, that means even one witness. V'i afilu chad leka, ela b'may mistira. But if you're talking about a case where what? Where lemaisa, there's not even one aid there. So how would she ever become usher to us? And he will say, if you're going to say that aid ain't bought literally means that what? That there are no witnesses. So if there are no witnesses at all, then lemaisa, Arya, at least it's not like on top of the skylight. You know, it's at least mamish. It's if lemaisa again, if at the end of the day, aid bo would mean that there's mamish no aidim at all, then b'may mistaria, then if there's no aidos, then how would she become asura? I'll tell you why it's necessary, because I would have thought the following. Aid ein ba, ein ne'eman ba. I might have thought that the pasuk, when it says aid ein ba, means that the witness, the singular witness, is not believed regarding matters of this issue, or regarding this particular issue. So the Gemara says, ein ne'eman ba, ve'ela my boy. So if that's the case, that the aid echad is not believed, so then what do you require? Ad di'ikatrei. Then Lemais, what I'm saying is, the only time that a woman would be in violation of her husband's warning, if she's alone with another man, is when? Until there are two witnesses. If that's the case, lishtok kra mine. The pasuk doesn't have to say anything. Da'asye davar davar mimamo. Because we'll say, as we will learn this later on, there is an interesting gezer shava between matters of morality, matters of erva, and mamon, and matters of money. And there's gezer shava of davar davar. What does that teach us? Davar davar teaches us that just as there are two witnesses necessary by matters of monetary halacha, so to again, you need two witnesses by matters of morality as well. Va'ani yedana midi dehava akola duyos bedora. And I would have assumed that had the pasuk just not said anything, don't qualify it at all. Well, remember, the default when it comes to testimony is what? The default is two. So let the pasuk not say anything. And I would have said again, just like in all other matters of halacha, I need two witnesses. So to everybody, so I need two witnesses. To which the Gemara says, no. It's trich. I'll tell you why I need it. Sakadai tchamina, I would have thought, sota shiny draglai medover. I would have thought that sota is a little bit different. Why Rabbo said? Because there's raglayim ledavar. That's what we said earlier. Raglayim ledavar means what? That, again, we're talking about a case over here where her husband already suspected certain behaviors, went out of his way to warn his wife in the presence of two witnesses. And therefore, I would have thought that the laws of testimony regarding her violation of that warning are different than the laws of testimony in other areas. Why? Because it's, so to speak, already a strike against her. There's already raglayim ledavar that something's going on. Shari kinala benistra, because he warned her, and she was alone with the man with whom her husband warned. She violated the warning. I would have thought, therefore, again, Eid Echad should be believed. Umi matis amrit de'ein ne'eman ba. I will say now again, the Sharia, are you actually going to say that there's a havamina? So what's an Adigmar flips it? So are you entertaining the possibility that if an Eid Echad came along and said that she was alone with this man, that Lamaisa again, or that he did witness the actual intimacy, would you have a havamina that the Eid Echad won't be believed? And that should be to permit it to her husband. But for the fact that the pasuk says that she was not coerced, the pasuk seems to indicate that based on the testimony of the eid echad, she will be prohibited. I might have thought that halacha lemaisa. No, that maybe the witness is not believed until there are two witnesses. Or betray Nami, and even with two witnesses, you still need to ascertain the fact that what the hilon espasa, that she was not violated. Therefore, Kamash Shulam, the Gemara is teaching us that no, even an aid echad is believed. So, we will qualify exactly what this really means in just a moment. So, but remember, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is the following: the machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is regarding what? Is regarding testimony. Regarding testimony about stira. Stira Bosai means, remember, first step in the sota process is kinui, the warning. Everyone is agreeing that how many witnesses do you need for warning? Two. The shaila now is, she's alone with the man, right? She violates the warning. How many witnesses do you need to testify that she violated the warning? That's the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, all you need is one witness, and a greater novelty, which is what? That one witness could even be who? Could even be the husband himself. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you need two witnesses. Fine, that's a machlokas. All the Gemara was just trying to show is, but there is one area in which they all agree. And what's that one area? That if there was an Eid Echad, if there was a single witness who said that I saw her commit adultery, not that I saw her, not that I saw her alone, I actually saw the act of intimacy between the wife and the man who is not her husband, that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua will both agree that what? That Eid Echad is Ne'eman, that Eid Echad is believed. What are the ramifications of that singular witness's testimony? The ramifications are that the sota process stops, meaning I will say at that point in time, even if she professes her innocence, she may not drink the water. We do not let the process go on. Husband must divorce her, and she loses her ksuva. So I want to say, if you remember, we actually spoke a lot about this already in ksuvas. But the idea, and where do we learn that out from? We learn that out from the pasuk of ve'ed ein ba, v'hi lo nispasa. Aid in ba means what? Aid we understand to mean, right? We understand to mean normally two witnesses. But lemais, again, in this case, it can't be two witnesses. The Gemara just, but rather it's talking about even the presence of Aid Echad. And as long as we know for sure that she was not violated by this individual, lemais, the Aid Echad would be believed. We're going to loop back to this discussion in just a little bit. So the Gemara goes, Vaita, Rishu, Omer Mekar La Pish Time. So what's it? Remember, what was Rishita's Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua says you need two witnesses for warning and two witnesses for stira. Says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yeshua. Where does Rabbi Yeshua get this shita from? So the Gemara says, Amakra, because the Pasuk says, ba, ba, ba. Pasuk says, ba. So must remember the Pasuk is, same Pasuk. V'shachav ish osa shech vazera, v'ne'ela meine isha. A man who's not her husband will sleep with her. And it was something that was hidden away from the eyes of the husband. V'nistera v'hi nitma. She is alone and she was defiled. V'eid ein ba. And there is no witness about her. V'hi ilon espasa. So I'm sure the action is like this. Ba. What does ba teach us? Ba v'lo bikinui. Ba v'lo bistira. That when do we say ba? It's only when it's only in something regarding her explicitly that an Eid Echad is believed. So we'll say, what does Ba refer to? According to Rabbi Yoshua, Ba refers to testimony regarding that she actually committed the act of adultery. So it's only if there's a witness that actually saw her commit adultery that we believe in Eid Echad. But for all other cases, namely Kinui and Stira, the two bookends of this process, the warning and the seclusion, that requires ultimately two witnesses. Ba, but so you understand Rabbi Yeshua is saying the word ba refers to a very intimate her. What's the very intimate her? The very intimate her is somebody actually seeing her commit adultery. That's where one witness is believed. But for every other part of this process, namely the warning and the seclusion, that you must have two witnesses. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says ba, v'lo bikinui. Rabbi Eliezer says ba teaches us what? An Eid Echad is believed regarding to say that she committed adultery, but not by kinui. By kinui you need what? By kinui you need two witnesses. But remember again, what's Chitas Rabbi Eliezer? What does Rabbi Eliezer hold? By stira, how many witnesses do you need for stira? Bless you, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Right, either one or the husband himself. I ve'ema ba v'lo b'stira. Why don't you say that, L'mais Rabbi Eliezer, why don't you say that Eid Echad only works for what we'll call tumah? We'll say, we're going to call this piece tumah. So there's going to be three pieces that we're discussing. Kinoi is the warning. Stira is the seclusion, which is the violation of the warning. And tumah means testimony that we actually saw her commit adultery. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, here's what's interesting. Everybody agrees that ba comes to teach you that for matters of tumah, an Eid Echad is believed. Rabbi Yoshua's drasha is ba v'lo b'kinui v'lo b'stira. Eid Echad works for tumah, but doesn't work for kinui. So you need two witnesses for those two bookends. Rabbi Eliezer says ba v'lo b'kinui. You need two witnesses for kinui. Aye, so why don't you say ve'ema ba v'lo b'stira? And Rabbi Eliezer, why don't you make the same argument and say that you need two witnesses not just for kinui, but for what? But for stira as well. To which Rabbi Yoshua, to which Rabbi Eliezer would respond, stira is kishlo tuma. The Rabbi says seclusion is compared to tuma. What does that mean? Dichsiv v'nistera v'hi nitma. Very interesting. That seclusion, which is the violation of the warning, is compared to actual tuma. So we'll say, why? Because the pasuk says she was secluded and she was intimate with this man. She defiled herself. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that what? Just like tuma is with Eid Echad. So to what? So to seclusion, stira can also take place with Eid Echad. Aye, kinoi nami iskish latuma. But one second, if you're going to make that argument, kinoi, the warning, is also compared to Tumah. Dechsiv, v'kinei es ishto v'hi nitma, because the pasuk says that what? That he warns his wife and she was defiled. So you see that the warning is also compared to Tumah. So why don't you say, if that's the case, that you're looking at comparisons, why don't you say that just as Tumah is accomplished, or just as Tumah is with Eid Echad, so too kinoi can also be with Eid Echad. Ha, the Gemara says, ha miyot rachmana ba. That's different, because the pasuk has a miyot. And we'll say, the word ba is an exclusionary phrase to teach you that what? That it's only with Tumah that a Eid Echad works, but not with the other processes. Uma rois, so why do you say, therefore, that the exclusionary phrase comes to limit the use of Eid Echad only to Tumah and to Stira, but not Kinui? Mistabra Stira Adifa Shekino Sarta. I would say that Stira ultimately, again, is Adif, is more comparable to Tumah. Why? Because Stira ultimately, again, meaning the seclusion, is ultimately what will prohibit the wife to her husband. So the Gemara says, Shekino Sarta Kituma. Adarabba, I would say, first wide line, I would say just the opposite. Kinui Adif, the warning is even more important. Why? Shekin Iker Garamla. Because I will say the warning itself is Lamaisa what? The warning is the thing, is the process that began this whole thing. Without the warning, remember again, the entire Sota process does not move forward. Which the Gemara says, Ilav Stira, Kinui Mi'ika. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, were it not for Stira, ultimately again, would the Kinui be meaningful? Which the Gemara says, I could reverse that. The Ilav Kinui, were it not for the warning, Stira Mayahani. What good would Stira do? Afiluhachi Stira Adifa Das Chalte de Tumahi. To which the Gemara says, but nevertheless, Stira itself, when the Gemara says Stira Adifa, Stira is stronger, because why? It's the beginning of Tumah. Remember, this is now the Gemara trying to make an argument over here for why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why is it that an Eid Echad works for Stira? In other words, Rabbi says, here's what everybody agrees with. That's what everybody agrees with. Everybody's going to agree that Lamaisa, again, for Tumah, you only need an Eid Echad. Now we know, where do we learn that out from? Ba. Ba. We learn that from the word ba. And what else do we know? We also know that ba is an exclusionary phrase. That ba means Eid Echad works here, but not in other circumstances. So Rabbi Yeshua is a purist, and Rabbi Yeshua says that it's only by Tumah Eid Echad works, but for the other two parts of the process, namely Kinui and Stira, you need Shtei Eidim, you need two witnesses. Rabbi Yeshua says you need two witnesses by Kinui, but not by Stira. Why not by Stira? Because Rabbi Yeshua feels that Stira is really an extension of Tumah. So Stira is really like a sister concept to Tumah, and therefore, just like Tumah only needs Eid Echad, so to Stira only needs Eid Echad as well. To which the Gemara says, Masnisin delo ki aitana. So our Mishnah is not like the following opinion. This Sanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Hamekana le'ishto, mekana api Eid Echad, o api atzmo. Umashkele api shnayim. So we'll say, listen to this. So this is a very interesting shita. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, says the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that a man could warn his wife, even only in the presence of an Eid Echad, or just himself, but yet to cause her to drink, meaning for Stira, you require to. So we'll say, so this opinion is not reflected in our Mishnah at all, because remember, in our Mishnah, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua are both agreeing that what? How many? You need two witnesses for Kinui, but yet this opinion is saying that you could even do Kinui with an Eid Echad. I'm also saying not just an Eid Echad, but through who? But through the husband himself. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. It's going to be very exciting. Heshivu Chacham Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Ledavar Sov. The rabbi said back to Rabbi Yehuda, so he's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, if you do this, Ein Ledavar Sov. There is no end to this matter. So the Gemara says, well, before we analyze that statement, says the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, where do you get that from? Meaning, where do you get this idea from? That kinui, that warning, could take place just in the presence of one witness, or even in the presence of the husband himself, because he says, Amar Kra, ba velo bestira. Because the pasuk says, ba, that an Eid Echad ultimately is believed, right, by Tumah, but not by Stira. The pasuk about you here is Drasha. He's saying that ba comes to teach you, Eid Echad only works by Tumah, but not by Stira, but it does work where? It does work by kinui. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. The ima ba, follow bikinui. But I don't understand, why don't you say that ba comes to teach you that what? Eid Echad works by Tumah, but also not by kinui, not by the warning. Oh, kinui is kishla Tumah, because the warning is compared to Tumah. And therefore, the chsiv, bikinui is ishto, vehi nitma'ah. because the pasuk says he will warn his wife and she becomes defiled. So the fact that the Torah links kinui with tuma tells me what says Rabbi Yossi, that just as tuma is eid echad, so to what? Kinui could also be affected through eid echad. I says the Gemara, but 1 second, stira nami is kishla tuma. Okay, that's very nice, but you forgot about the fact that what? Stira, the seclusion, is also linked to tuma. Dichsiv, v'nistira v'hinitma. The pasuk says she was secluded and she was defiled. So therefore, again, according to your logic, Rabbi Yossi, then what should be the halacha? Eid echad should work by stira as well. Oh, no. Hahu lekama shir stira. That pasuk v'nistra v'hinitma'a, she was secluded and she was defiled, that's not coming to link the processes of stira and tuma. You know what that's coming to teach me? That's coming to teach me the sheer stira. Rabosai, this is, and we'll get into this in depth later on, how long does a woman have to be secluded with this man in order to be in violation of the warning? To which the Gemara says, you know how long? Kedei tuma. Long enough for an act of intimacy to have occurred. So how long that is, we'll discuss later on in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Therefore, you see that Rabbi Yossi has a shita, and Rabbi Yossi's shita is, Ba teaches me that Eid Echad applies to Tuma. The fact that the Torah links Kinoi with Stira, with Tuma tells me that Eid Echad also works with Kinoi. What about Tuma? Tuma's also linked with Stira, to which Rabbi Yossi will respond, that linkage is not for Eidos purposes. That linkage is for duration purposes. That how long must a woman be secluded with this man in order to be in violation of the husband's warning? Kidei tuma, long enough for something to have occurred. To which the Gemara says, Shiucham de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ein la davar sof. So we'll say, remember, so the rabbi said to Rabbi Yossi, if you accept this premise, if you go with this approach, that lamaisa what? That lamaisa, one witness works for kinui. Ein la davar sof. What does that mean? Mind you, tezinin de lokani va'amar kanoi. Well, because remember, again, understand the Pandora's box you're opening up over here. If you say that a husband could warn his wife and he could be the Eid Echad, what could happen? There could be times where Lamaisa, he gets angry at her and he says, what? I warned you. When in fact, what? He didn't, right? And therefore, again, he could compromise her in such a significant fashion just without any proof. The Gemara says, 1 second. Hala Mishnah Seinu Yesh Adar Asof. So what about in our Mishnah, right? You must remember again, what about the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah who says that what? That for Stira, an Eid Echad, including the husband, is believed as well. So again, you can make that same argument in the Mishnah. Delo istata, you can have a situation where she was not secluded with the man, and the husband gets angry at her, and he says, Va'amar istater. Even though he has to warn her in front of two witnesses, he could pull the trigger on the Sota process by claiming that what? That she was alone with a man, even if she wasn't, and he's believed. What it means is, even according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, there is no end to this matter. So we'll say again, you make it sound like, again, even according to Rabbi Yossi, what about our Mishnah? Adraba, le Mishnah Seinu Ika Iker, Hasam, le Mishnah Seinu Ika Iker, Hasam Leka Iker. Our Mishnah is the real place where this whole problem begins. Not with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Ela I itmar hachi itmar. Rather, this is what you have to say. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Af l'mishnah seinu ein lo davar sof. Rather, the way the Gemara should read is how? That l'maisa, again, that certainly, I should say, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, ein lo davar sof, but certainly in our Mishnah, the same argument would apply. In other words, they both say that ein lo davar sof argument is not something that originates with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, but rather, where does that argument originate? That argument originates in our Mishnah and ultimately spills over into the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say both. So remember, this is now a kasha both on Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, who says that stira could occur through one person, even the husband. And now the question is further compounded by the shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, because according to both of them, you open the door for the husband to accuse his wife of being in violation of some part of the process without any way to check that husband, that recklessness of the husband. So stop over here for today. I just want to give you just one piece of halach lemaisa, because it's important to know there's a lot going on in this masechta, but just so you should know, because I think this will help frame our discussion going forward. How do we paskin in this halacha? Because this is important. So in Yaradeya Semin Kuf Ayin Ches,
Sif Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, because again, now we're getting into matters regarding, you know, in Nezirus, we didn't have any Shulchan Aruch. In Nezirus, again, remember, because remember, Shulchan Aruch only deals with situations that are contemporarily relevant, and we'll see, even though today you can't really do Sota, but Lemais, again, the Shulchan Aruch all discusses this. Just so you should know, Ketzer HaKinui, so it says the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Kuf Ayin Ches, Sif Beis. So what does Kinui look like? Omer La Bifnei Shnayim Al Tischim Ishploni. So number one, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us, Kinui must take place in front of two witnesses. So first of all, that's not a chiddush, because remember again, well, it's only a chiddush according to who? According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, right? So obviously we discount the chiddush that we just quoted over here, but both in our Mishnah, both according to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua, you need two witnesses. What about stira? Keitzah, this is in Sif Dalid. Keitzah hi astira shenisra b'fnei edim, im osaploni shekinola v'shasa kidei tuma. We'll discuss what that is, but lemaisa again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, stira must also take place in front of two witnesses in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yoshua. That Rabbi will say, Aloch Lamaisa again, so Kinoi must take place in the presence of two witnesses, Stira must take place in the presence of two witnesses. We'll see again how he paskin in terms of Tuma. But Lamaisa, we reject the view of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda altogether. For now, we'll just go under the assumption that I pass like Rabbi Eliezer, two witnesses for Kinoi, two witnesses for Stira. Emir Tzashem will pick up on the bottom of Beis and Beis tomorrow. Yashikach to everyone. Emir Tzashem, we should be Zoch, just like we're Zoch to start Sota together. We should be Zoch, Emir Tzashem, to finish Sota together. But halalai, we should be Zoch to be able to finish it together. Be Yushalayim, Habenuya, Bikarov. Amen.